Hi, this is Pam Raglan, and I'm going to welcome you to a unique series of calls called AskPamRaglan.com. This is a unique blend of my own intuition, my deep knowledge about human behavior, and the information and measures that I've been doing since 2003 that have led me to a lot of innovative discoveries about the law of attraction and personal development. What I'm doing with clients and individuals like yourself is I'm answering your questions about not just general stuff, but what's really in your way. What's the number one biggest, deepest thing that's in your way that may otherwise take you decades or your entire lifetime to identify, but I can uncover usually for people in just a matter of minutes, so that then you can have some choices about what you want to do moving forward in your life so you can get rid of what's actually in your way. And I'll give you various options on that, including the option of thought shifting, which is what I do for people to help you clear dramatic chunks of past baggage and negativity from your life, or even quantum thought shifting, which gets rid of the whole entire thing. And there's a lot of other things too, like rebalancing your body and just a ton of other stuff that helps with things like addictions, ADD, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, or what some people call OCD, and on and on and on. So I'm going to invite you to listen in on this series of calls, and I would love to hear from you if you'd like to ask your own question. You can go to www.askpamraglan.com. That's www, and the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, PamRaglan.com. So listen in now as I start the call, and you can be like a fly on the wall listening to me working with people, and throughout this process you'll learn a lot more about what gets in our way and what you can do about it. Thanks for joining me. All right, so this is Pam Raglan. This is my AskPamRaglan.com call, and I want to welcome everybody, and apologies for a little bit of a late start here. I'm kind of out of the swing of things. I haven't done one of these calls in a while, but we're going to be getting on a regular schedule this year for everybody. And I really have a lot of things that I know this is kind of a big year for a lot of people. People are needing to change, and they're frustrated by maybe the pace of change or what's going on with themselves and where they want to be versus where they are. So I've been being given tons and tons and tons of information to help all of you, and really a lot of it divinely since, I don't know, forever. 2003. I've had this business since 2000, but really kind of in the last year it's been stepped up a lot. So I'm feeling the pressure to kind of make that information available to you. So we're coming along here with more of this kind of information and newsletters and some different programs and things like that. People actually email me and ask me to create new stuff and all kinds of things like that. So, you know, I want to do that for you, and it's kind of a, you know, it's getting into like the swing of things and being able to, you know, have that information available on a schedule that also works for me, because I work 2 days a week. So, and in fact, I'm going to be doing a call, maybe doing something next week where I talk about that, where I talk about how I work 2 days a week, so that other people can learn those things from me as well. Meanwhile, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about kind of what I do, what I'm here for, and what, you know, with the different challenges that you guys have written in to me about what different ways I may be able to help you out in your changes that you're trying to make for this year. So, again, my name is Pam Raglan. I've had this business since 2000. Some of you may, or sure, you've all kind of heard of me one way or another, because most of the people here either have been receiving emails periodically or so forth. And I really started out this business as a coach back in the year 2000 with the expertise of having helped companies change and improve. And my only focus at the time was to help people change more quickly and effortlessly. So I sat back and I said, you know, what is it about me that makes me unique? And I realized that in doing the work that I previously did as a consultant in transforming companies, I was helping people change quickly and effortlessly, and I'm really good at that. So I decided that when I started this business, that was going to be my focus. And when I started that, I really didn't know hardly anything. Like, I had, you know, no idea about
how to, I kind of had the idea about how to help people in a traditional sense in companies, but the things that I know now and the things that I'm going to tell you tonight, no idea about. Way back then, all I knew was see them be afraid to change something. I would know that if I helped address whatever it was that they were afraid of, that would actually help them to be able to be successful. And so that became my focus. So that's kind of it. That's in a nutshell kind of what I started looking at. And, there's a thing, some of you guys have heard of the movie called The Secret, and there's this rule called the Law of Attraction that's actually a universal law. And some of you have heard that what you focus on is what you get. So as a result of me actually focusing on trying to help people more quickly and effortlessly, I've actually discovered ways to do that that nobody else is doing. So that's part of what I want to share with you tonight and kind of why it's so hard for us to change and what it is that we can do about it. Okay? So what happens a lot of times is people have a challenge. Like, you'll be trying to change something and you just get frustrated because you can't change it. Or you're trying to reach a goal and you just get frustrated because you can't reach a goal. And so many times what happens is we just blame ourselves, or we feel like we're moving way too slow, or we feel like there must be something that we're doing wrong, or we feel like there must be something we don't know. So, really for about the last probably 20 years in personal development, people have been progressively providing information to people to try to help them understand more about what they know and what they should know and all that. But the thing is that what I've discovered is that information alone is not good enough. So I have a model that I came up with that's called the Rock Model that actually was given to me divinely. In fact, I was given it twice, once in my journal, and I'm going to be giving you guys more information this year about my journaling process and what I do and how that process really helps me. And so once it was given to me in my journal, and another time I remember I was doing yoga and I actually wrote it on this cardboard box beside me, because in that state a lot of times where we can be more receptive. And this model is called the Rock Model, and I teach about this in what's called my Level 1 Thought Shifting Program, which I'll tell you guys all about later. But basically, the bottom line is that the ROC is an acronym, and R stands for taking responsibility versus like being a victim. O is silent, C is the capacity to change, and K is the knowledge about what to do. And what I've realized is that a lot of what's going on out there is that people are being given a lot of knowledge about what to do, but without the capacity to actually change that knowledge, it's meaningless. To implement that knowledge, it's meaningless because you can't really do anything with it. You can't make the change. You actually don't have the capacity to make the changes that you want to make. And so that's where I've kind of become an accidental expert, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that and how that process works. So let's kind of start at the top. So imagine that you're a little baby and you come onto this planet and you start learning stuff. And by the way, 25% of everything that you've learned that you know on this planet, you learned by the time you were 1 year old. And this is all stuff I've done. What I've actually done is measured and quantified how we get the ideas we have and how we create our life the way that we do and all that kind of thing. So what I found is that by the time you're 1 year old, 25% of your lifetime thoughts are already there. So already by the time you're one, a quarter of you is already formed. And it kind of goes like this. Let's say that if you guys are able to see me on the video when my computer stops installing all these updates, you would know that there's a door behind me. And so we grow up and we learn knowing that that is called a door. And then the door is made out of wood. So eventually we learn that it's called a wooden door, but it could be a glass door or a sliding glass door or any number of different words that we give to a door. Okay? And then what happens is we grow up learning these things and they get created in our brain and indelled in our brain through what's called an association. We look at it, we smell it, we taste it, we touch it, we use all of our senses, and we instantaneously recognize it. And at the point at which we instantaneously recognize it, we've created a thing in our brain called a neural pathway. It's actually like a little bridge in our brain that when we see a door, we automatically bridge over and recognize that that door is called a door. And this is the same way that we learn language. You know, when you get really, at one point in time I was really fluent in Spanish, and when you get really fluent, you start actually thinking in that language. Your associations, you look at the door, and puerta is door in Spanish, and you would think puerta. So that's kind of what happens, is we get this automatic association to things, and once that is in our brain, it automatically happens. So that's how all of our form. So as long as the association that is, and it's a positive association, then what happens is we're aware of this door, but we don't really have to think about what it's called anymore. We just automatically know that it's a door. Okay? And yet what happens is when we have negative associations that go in the same way as the positive ones go in, then the negative ones go in also. And so what happens is then we automatically look at that and we think, not that, oh, that's a door, but let's say that the first time that you ever got your finger shut, the first time you ever encountered a door, you got your finger shut in the door, okay? So normally a door is going to be like a neutral association. But if you get your finger shut in the door, then what's going to happen is you're going to have a negative association to the door, right? You're going to look at a door and you're going to have a negative idea about the door. And that may seem silly, but this is the reason why people are afraid of dogs and cats and spiders and all kinds of reactions that you have that you don't even recognize you have, and you don't understand why you're having them. Okay? So that's what happens. That's the phenomenon of what occurs whenever we're learning. So to a great extent, if we see things that are positive, then we've got a positive association, or we have a lot of neutral associations. But if for some reason a negative event occurs in our life, then we'll have a negative association. And not only do we have the negative association, but we have it automatically. So you'll see a door. You won't even think about the fact that it's a door. You're just going to automatically have this negative, maybe like feeling in the pit of your stomach, or you might be scared of the door. And I know this all seems kind of silly around a door, but there's, in the time that I've been doing this in the past 12 years and working with people, there are so many things that come up that people have negative associations to that there's not any one type of commonality, right? We have certain groups of groupings of these things that kind of tend to get in our way. We have them around money. We have them around relationships, you know, things like that. But the very things, the specific ideas that cause all these things in the first place are as different as the people that are on this planet. So, you know, for one person it's one thing, for another person it's another. So I'm just giving you kind of like an idea of how this works. We learn by association. And that very association is what helps us, and it also hurts us at the same time. So the idea behind learning these things by association is that we want to be able to not have to relearn things. The reason that we bring so many things in the first year is because we're actually learning about living our life, and we want to be able to do it effortlessly. So we're all set up in every way for our life to be effortless. We just are. And those of you that have been around me for any period of time, you know that I'm a big, huge believer in doing things effortlessly. So what happens is we are indeed doing things effortlessly, but a lot of times we're doing the wrong things effortlessly because we've got a lot of these negative associations that are in there that we basically have to deal with and contend with. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more what I found about that, but I want to explain a little bit more to you first about the learning process and how things work, because I find that when you really understand the learning process, that you can be a little bit easier on yourself and not beat yourself up so much about why you're not doing certain things, about why things may be in your way, and so forth, okay? So what I'm trying to do is like set the stage now and help you understand, okay, this is how things work. Now, adding to this interesting thing is the fact that there is this thing called the law of attraction, and we actually do create our life based on the thoughts that we have, right? And what happens is we've got a thought about something. Let's say we've got a thought that says we're beautiful. Right? Like I used to have this dog. I know this may be silly, but she was a Siberian Husky. She had these beautiful blue eyes, and she loved it whenever people would tell her that she was pretty and things like that. So she had this idea that she was pretty, and I would walk her around this lake by my house, and everybody would say, "Oh, you're so pretty, oh, you're so pretty," and, you know, she would just sit there and wag her tail, smile, and know that she was pretty. It may seem kind of silly, but that's exactly, you know, that things are a certain way, or we understand a certain thing about ourselves, and usually it's the converse. I mean, unfortunately, with a lot of really positive ideas about ourselves, and I'll talk about that phenomenon in a second and actually why that happens so that you can kind of understand that as well. Okay, and for those of you that have been patiently waiting on the video, I think my computer is finally restarted and I can bring that up. So it's kind of yellow, but I'm going to not worry about that so much. Okay, there we go. A lot of people. All right. Hopefully people gave up on. Okay, I'm going to start the recording and everything for the video also. Because unfortunately this video is going to be cut off a little bit because of the technical whatever it was doing, trying to install all the updates. I just went to Windows 7 and I'm not used to it yet. Okay. So what happens is you've got these associations. Now, by the time we're 5 years old, again, work that I've done, we actually have 61% of our lifetime thoughts, and more than a third of them, or more than a million of these thought clusters, and I'll talk about that in a second, are actually negative. So we've got this huge amount of stuff that's in our way. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that and how I came up with some of those numbers and how I determined that. But let me tell you why that matters. In the first 5 years, what happens is your brain waves are actually like under hypnosis. They operate in a different wavelengths, okay? And they operate in a wavelength where whatever you get exposed to, you actually bring in. So if somebody says something to you, if you hear something, if you see something on TV, anything kind of random passing thought, someone says something about you, all those things go into your subconscious and they are automatically just going in, not even thinking about it. So there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of garbage to go in the first 5 years. And this kind of switches over about the time that we begin, if any of you that have kids, there's a certain period of time where you're not God all of a sudden, and if you say something, your kids don't just listen to you and do whatever it is that you say, or just take on whatever it is that you say. And for most kids, that's around age 5, okay? Between like 5 and 6 for most of them. That's the point where those brain waves actually switch over, and the child starts becoming their own filter. But by that point in time, so much has already gone in. 61% of your lifetime thoughts have already gone in. And let me tell you how I came up with that. I was at the seminar once, and somebody said, "Well, you know, we have 50% of our thoughts by the time we're 5. And I thought, you know what? I think it's higher, because I just noticed. I was working with people already removing specific issues, and I'll talk about that in a second, and I just noticed that so much of it was like 0 to age 3, and I thought it has to be higher. So I began measuring it with a lot of other things that I've measured, and what I found is that 61% of our lifetime thoughts are there by the time we're 5. Now, what happens is we have these thoughts, and those of you that are now on the video, you'll be able to see this, but everything is kind of stored as like a chain in our brain. So if you imagine in your mind a chain, and part of the chain is like your thought that you have, and part of the chain is your emotion that you have, and part of the chain is the smell and the taste and the touch. You know, there's a reason why we associate the smell of chocolate chip cookies with certain things and all that, okay? All these associations are in our brain, and we smell something and it reminds us of something. Well, there's a reason why we associate music with things. Okay, all these are associations that are in there. And that chain makes an association. So you've got like a thought, and you've got this emotion, and you've got your senses and your smell and taste and touch and all that. And they all get connected. And when they get connected and they're automatically connected together, that's when that neural pathway is formed, and now it's automatic. And that's what we refer to as the subconscious. So when somebody is saying that you're operating out of your subconscious, or there's something happening that's not totally in, you know, within your conscious thought, what they're really talking about is that phenomenon where you've learned something, it's become become automatic, and now it's outside your level of conscious awareness. You're not paying attention to it. And the fact that we do this is part of the challenge of why it's so hard to get rid of this stuff. So now let me tell you a few of the challenges I discovered. Because what happened was, one day I just was sitting there with my clients, and in my quest to help people change quickly and effortlessly as one of the first coaches, I literally felt like I was pulling teeth. I remember I had this one client, she was from Ireland. And she had this idea that she should work. She kept getting laid off from internet companies. And she had this idea that she should be able. And she had been laid off 13 times. And she would literally hear in her mind her mom's voice that said, get a stable job, get a stable job. So to her, an office job was stable. But it belied the fact that she had been laid off 13 times. Because it really wasn't stable. And I looked at her and I said, okay, this is really not stable. And what she really wanted to do was to work in film. They make a lot of films, at least at that time, over in Ireland. And that's what she really wanted to do. But she wasn't doing it because she heard her mom's voice in her head, get a stable job, get a stable job. Okay? So I'm trying to figure out, those of you that are on the video, I have, I have a screensaver on here, and it's making the, I realize earlier, it's making the video pop out every time the screensaver comes in, so I have to turn it off, but I've got to find it in here. So, you know, that's what happened is she had this association, and I would literally hear, like intuitively, her mom's voice in her head telling her to get a stable job. So we worked on getting rid of this one negative thought for like 3 months, and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm pulling teeth. But, you know, it makes sense because what happens is that neural pathway, it takes 26 days to form, okay? And most of the research has shown that it's like 26 days. It might be some people use 21 days. This is the reason why when you do a lot of these programs, they tell you that you have to do it for 30 days. You've got to repeat something for 30 days. Because it basically is on average how long it takes for you to overwrite a neural pathway that's already there. So let's say you've got a negative idea in there, and now it's this negative association, and now it's this automatic negative habit that's formed because it's gone in there automatically. What happens is you don't need 26 days to overwrite that neural pathway and put a new idea in there. So when people tell you to do things like affirmations and visualizations, and they tell you to keep repeating it, this is why. Okay, so we worked on it. So it's not just the number of days, it's the number of repetitions and how long it takes to put a new idea in. It's kind of like creating a new road. Like you've got a road here, and this road is, you know, not serving you, and it's all full of potholes, and it's, you know, dirt and everything. And you don't just snap your fingers and create a new road by normal standards. Okay, so what happens is, you know, you gotta grade the dirt, and you gotta, you know, bring in whatever else you need to build a road. I'm sure there's some of you online that know how to build a road. But you've got to do all that stuff, and then you put the asphalt down, and then you build the road. Well, that's the normal way of using affirmations, visualizations, of working one by one to get rid of things. So as I was working with this client, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm pulling teeth. There must be an easier way. And then I ran across this machine that was supposed to remove negative conditioning, and you held it in your hands and all that. And I spent like $20,000 buying the machine and training and everything because I really believed in being able to help my clients more quickly and effortlessly. And, you know, the story is that at a certain point in time, I actually realized that it was me and not the machine, which is its own other story. But that's kind of how this new process that I have that's called thought shifting was born, because I all of a sudden realized that we don't have to just go through all that work to rebuild the road, that we can actually snap our fingers and have that negativity be gone and have that association be gone, and that's a process that's called thought shifting. Okay, so I was gifted really divinely with this ability to help you in two ways. One is what I call quantum thought shifting, or my level 4 program that erases all the negativity and literally kind of is like if you have a virus on your computer that you've left pieces of it on, it just kind of takes it all off. And so it's a pretty huge transformation for people. And I started doing that initially, and then I found that that was too much change for a lot of people. So I stepped back with what I call level 2, and now eventually now it's at level 1, where you come in and I remove big chunks of negativity. But let me explain to you why that is so important, because what happens is if you've got this stuff that's in your subconscious now, that's in there, and what I found when I started measuring and saying, well, how do I know how much I'm helping people? What I found is that 97.4 of all of your thoughts on average in your head are negative. And let me explain what negativity means. Negativity doesn't mean you're a bummer or a drag or anything like that. What it means is these are like opposing thoughts. So if you imagine a battery, and remember, life is supposed to be effortless, right? And on one side it's the positive, the other side is the negative. The positive side are all the things that help us effortlessly create our life the way that we want it. The negative side are all those things that get in our way. They're resistance. It's where it feels like we're pushing a snowball uphill. It's struggle. Okay? And so 97.4% of our thoughts on average fall into that category. They're struggle. They get in our way. They don't serve us. And a lot of times I give the definition that it's the lies we tell ourselves that we don't even know we're telling ourselves, and we don't even know they're lies. Because so often it's built into the way that we do things, and it's built into the way that we're living our life, and we don't even realize that it's negative. We just think, oh, that's how it is. Let me give you an example. One of my clients is a real estate broker, and I was working with this person, and they said, well, you know, you get all your clients from your new listings. And I said, really? Who said that? I said, aren't there two sides of the deal if you're talking like residential real estate? And at least in the United States, and I know it's done differently in different areas in different states, but I live in California, there are the people who buy the home and there are the people that are selling the home. They're both clients. And this person stepped back and said, oh my gosh, that's what everybody says, but that's not true. It was just an idea. So if you think that's an idea, then you're going to create that in your life, and then you're going to have that happening in your life, and that is negativity. Okay? All right, I think I've successfully turned the screen camera off now. So, all right, so all of you people on the video out there, hopefully it's not going to black out anymore. So that's what happens is all of a sudden, like, you have this big aha that, wait a minute, it's not really like that? What do you mean it's not like that? Everybody thinks it's like that. But see, if just because everybody thinks it's like that doesn't mean it's true. It just means everybody thinks it's like that because they do, okay? So these things, really, in stepping back and understanding, are all these thoughts that we have serving us. Now, the reason that this is such a challenge is because 97.4% of them are negative, but 96.4% of them are hidden in our subconscious. And I, you know, I've been measuring people since I got this idea to measure back in 2003, so that makes it 8 years now. And people will say to me, oh, that's not me or whatever, and invariably it is. So you're going to see tonight when I answer some of the questions, I'll measure your negativity. I'll let you know where you're at. And most people are either like, okay, yeah, I totally could have told you that, or they're shocked. There's very rarely anything in between because so much of what is in our way is hidden to us and we don't even realize it's there. But this is one of the reasons why, let's say that you've got a spouse or a significant other, whatever, they're watching you, and they'll say, you always do blah, 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 or you do blah, 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 and you'll say, no, I don't. Chances are you do because you don't even realize you're doing it. What happens is when something is automatic, and it goes in our subconscious, and it's got this association with this neural pathway. It's just something that we do. We don't even know we're doing it. It's automatic. It's as automatic as sitting in a chair, as looking at the door behind me, knowing that it's called a door. It's automatic. And again, it's set up for us to live our life effortlessly, and what's happening is we're effortlessly living a life of struggle and negativity and things that are in our way because we don't even know that we're doing it. Right? So now we've got a bunch of different healing modalities out there that are supposed to start helping people. But what's happening is I continued on with these measures. So first I measured the percentage of negativity. Then I measured how much is in our way, in our subconscious. Then I started measuring how many thoughts are those anyway. And what I found, and remember this is a cluster. You have a negative thought. You might have some other thoughts that are associated with that that now have spawned off of that thought. It's kind of like a wheel. And then you have, you know, your feelings about it, and then you have your the other senses, cell, you know, smell, taste, touch, whatever. All that gets combined into what I call a cluster. Okay, it's a grouping of thought. We have, on average, 3.5 million of those. So what happens is we've got a bunch of systems out there, and they're sort of helping people one by one by one. But if you work on 100 a day, and it takes 26 days by the NASA research to get rid of them with the traditional affirmation visualization type of method, it will take you 2,136 years to get rid of all those, even at 100 a day, okay, even if you only have 3 million. And the average person has 3.5 million. So as soon as I did those numbers, I started to say, oh, no wonder why it's so hard to change. It's really just a numbers game. Okay, so a lot of what I'm going to be bringing forth for you guys this year are different ways. You know what? I'm like the really, really fast way to help you change. But let's say that you're not quite ready for that yet. There may be some people that are slower, but they're still going to help you. I want to bring forth some different things that you guys can have. And I'm going to tell you about what, you know, I do tonight. But not all of you are going to be ready. You know, I've seen people where, you know, it's funny, and this person may be, even be on the call, but here's a person who I met, I think, like 2 years ago, and emailed me and said, oh, I think I'm ready to work with you now. You know what? That's what happens, okay? Sometimes we're not ready until we're ready, and it's okay. It's all good. I mean, there have been things, you know, in my life that I've resisted and had challenges on and things like that. So I'm going to tell you about what I do. I'm going to tell you about how I can help you, and hopefully I'll be able to help you. And then if not, what I want to also do is bring you some other resources, and you'll be looking out for some emails about that and some other people that can help you as well. Because what I really want is anything is better than nothing, and for you to get started down the path of moving forward into living your life the way it's supposed to be. You know, life is supposed to be effortless. Life is supposed to be abundant. Life is supposed to be happy. And what I want to tell you is, you know what, I'm a single mom. I have 2 kids. I run my business in 2 days a week. And if I can do it this way, anybody can. Like, there's nothing special about me. Yes, I'm doing my purposes and what it is that I came here to do, and very few people are doing that, but part of the reason why very few people are doing that is all this negativity. Because what happens is we don't hear the messages that are meant for us. We get drowned out in all the negativity. And even if we do, we wouldn't act on them because we're afraid. So fear is our enemy, and fear is actually, it's a frequency. It's like, I'll tell people, if you imagine a top and you're spinning this top and it goes really, really fast, that's how we should be. But what happens is fear is like someone taking their thumb and putting it on your top and stopping it. It literally holds you down and keeps you small. But it's actually a frequency that can be measured. It's part of what I measure too. And because I know this, most people are within their understanding. And it's not about the knowledge that you have as much as it is about the capacity to implement that knowledge that counts. If you cannot, because you've got negativity driving the show, because you've got hidden things in your way, if you cannot implement the knowledge you have, knowledge is meaningless. And you should stop going and paying for all this knowledge because it's not going to do you any good. I mean, that may be interesting, but in terms of really making a change that's going to move you forward, it's not. Okay? So I hate to say that. Sometimes my message is a little harsh, but it's kind of really just how it is. And for a while, I've tempered it and said, oh, you know, I don't want to offend people. But fooey with that, because this is your life. This isn't their life. So whatever if they get offended. You know, what I found is that if there's practitioners out there that get offended by me saying, you know, that's the slow road, they're not really working on behalf of their clients and wanting to help them change the fastest way. I mean, that's really the truth. Your job is to do what you can do for yourself in the best way that you can. Okay? So I accidentally found out that I was the healer person who has this gift called thought shifting that can erase all the stuff that's in your way or big chunks. Now let me tell you why the big chunks matter. Because, and when I say accidentally, I mean seriously, like my background's business, I was transforming companies, like I'm the last person I thought would ever be doing this. But I think that also because of that, I bring this element. Like, I've done things and people have said, oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, yes, I can because I'm already doing it. So I bring this element that where I didn't learn it from other people. I didn't learn what supposedly I was supposed to do, what I wasn't supposed to do. All I did was say, I want to help you change more quickly and effortlessly, and that has been my focus. And in doing that, I've continued to uncover more and more ways to help people because that's really what I care about. So let me explain another reason why it can be so hard for us to change. So we've got all this stuff in the subconscious, and what happens is we've got this thing called the reticular activating system. Some of you guys may have heard about it. And it actually helps us effortlessly attract our life. So it takes us in our subconscious, which it presumes we want to create more of, and it goes out and finds a match for us all over the place and brings in the right people and resources and things like that to help us create our life the way that we want it, okay? And this is actually a scientific thing. Now, what happens is if you've got the wrong stuff in your subconscious, that phenomenon also occurs. So it's like you're attracting all the wrong stuff, okay? Now, if you get rid of, let's say, one or two negative thoughts, let's say you find someone who can actually help clear that for you, okay? What happens is you get rid of one or two negative thoughts, but your subconscious is so efficient, it just goes and fills up the hole. So you may find that you take 2 steps forward, but 1 3/4 steps backward. Because you cannot get ahead of how efficient your subconscious is in any major way. Right. So what happens with the thought shifting is I'm able to actually, like at my level one process, erases on average 11% of those, which is a huge amount. Okay. And so that allows you to actually get ahead of how efficient your subconscious is and really begin making changes. You cannot attract all that back. You can't. You know, you're never going to be 5 years old again. You're never going to be have the same conditioning around you again. You're going to be more aware. And what's more, what I found is when I'm helping erase this negativity using the thought shifting, it's actually coming right out of the subconscious. So what happens is it actually makes you more conscious. In fact, it's interesting. I had some people in one of my groups in 2005, and they tried to copy what I was doing, and I had to say cease and desist, all that good stuff, because they were diluting, you know, my work, and that would end up helping less people. And so I went out something having to do with consciousness. I was saying, you know, so they called it consciousness something because they knew that, and I had told them that when the shifting is happening, it's coming out of your subconscious and that's making you more conscious. And in fact, there's another number that I measure that has to do with consciousness where I can show that also. And a lot of other people are measuring that one. I just do it because other people are doing it. It's actually not my favorite measure. But it is something that we can show progress in also. So but that's because you do become more conscious. You can't help it. You get to be more and more and more in charge of your life. So what's happening right now is with 97.4% of all those thoughts in your way, you're not in charge of your life, but you're supposed to be. You're supposed to have a supposed to, using law of attraction, be able to focus on and create that, and you're supposed to be able to get results. But if you've got all this other stuff that's in the way, what happens is this, let's say there's this new thing that comes in that you want to create. And now you've got an opposing thought in your subconscious. So you try to put this, the old one is still there. So unless you stick with it for the 26 days or the 21 days or whatever it's going to be and the number of repetitions, we somehow clear that negative thought out, which usually is a cluster, and it, depending on how old it is, it can involve a lot of negativity. Like I'll show you when I answer some of the questions, but I've worked with people where one incident created 30, 40, 50, 60% of all the negativity that they have. In fact, I worked with a heroin addict about 3 years ago. Committed to this healing thing, and she was going to die, and I knew it. And so I walked her over, and I shifted her of just what was driving her to have her heroin addiction, and it was 78% of all of her negativity. And I was astonished. What happens is the older that negativity comes in, and there is stuff that we bring into this life with us that I call soul debris, the older that negativity comes in, the more and more powerful it is, and the harder and harder it can be to be free of it. And what's happening is it's picking up steam. So because it's there, let's say you're born with it, right? And so you've got the soul debris, maybe you came in with it, or you got it from your mom in different ways, because thought is just energy, so it goes through your mom right into the baby. And now you're born with it. And you start immediately attracting more negativity to that. So it's like a snowball that's rolling downhill very, very quickly. So the older the energy is, the older the thing came in, the more negativity you're going to tend to have around it. And also, the more shifting you're probably going to need, because it's going to have more fingers and toes and tentacles in different areas of your body, of your life, basically. Okay, it's going to show up in all kinds of different ways. So one of the ways we can recognize negativity in our life, and again, it's resistance. It doesn't mean you're a drag or a bummer. People will say, oh, I'm so happy, I don't have any negativity. Oh, it's nothing to do with that. You might be so happy because you're not eating medicine. I won't even go down that road right now, but to say this, all that does is cover things up and make it worse. Okay, so I write about that in my addiction book. If you're interested in that, it's the 7 Lies of Addiction, the and then the number 7, Wise, W-H-Y-S, of addiction.com. You can take a look at that. But I write about that in my addiction book because it is one of the primary reasons why people have addictions. They've got these emotional issues. They're trying to cover them up, and they're not. So being happy on the outside doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're really happy. I mean, look at, we all know people. I mean, Kurt Cobain. That's when I went camping last year at Yosemite. We camped next to these people, these women, and they shared with me, you know what? Their brother was like a multimillionaire, and he just killed himself. Their brother had killed himself. It seemed on the surface that he had everything. So it's really what's underneath. You know, it's really, is our life in the direction that it was meant to go into before we came here? Is our life effortlessly moving? Are we happy, not just happy, like really happy in every way? Are we really experiencing life the way that we're meant to, effortlessly with abundance? Okay, that's really what it's all about. So, you know, with that, that's kind of, that's a little bit about how that happens, about what I do. Part of why it's so hard for the traditional methods to really help you is you're either working one by one, which is basically like taking a spoon to dig out the mountain, and thought shifting is more like dynamite, okay, it's the difference, or they're trying to get to something and have you identify it. That came in early on, but with all this negativity coming in before the age of 5, most of us don't even remember that stuff. So it's like we're really not getting to the root cause. I was really thinking about this because there was, you know, I've had some resistance to rolling this message out because I know that some people aren't going to like it and they're going to get offended and stuff like that. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, but this is my job to let you know about this. I know things that other people don't know. But as I've kind of reflected through it, like one person is like, oh, it started when you were 10. I was like, no, I don't think so. And the person's like, oh, it started when you were 4. I was like, no, I don't think so. And it really turns out that it was like some very old, what I would call soul debris that I came in with. And what I do with my level 4, the quantum thought shifting process, is I'll, which, oh, I guess I should tell you about how I work and all that too, so you know, but what I do with that process is actually a recipe of all these different things I do. So I'm kind of like a spiritual jack of all trades. Like if someone is doing something out there and it's worth doing, I probably am already doing it and it's probably in that recipe. So what happens is I'll just go change the recipe. So I'm on, I think it's now version 42 of that recipe since I first got it back in 2004. Okay. So let me tell you. So what I do with the thought shifting is I work mostly in groups. So as I go through the questions, I may say, okay, this is something that's appropriate for you, or here's something that's appropriate for you. I'll be starting a new level one group at the end of this month, and then I'm going to be going to kind of more of a home study version for level one. If you guys want to get in on a live group, there's only going to be probably one or two more live groups that I'm going to personally run, and then I'm going to go to more the home study version for the groups, for at least for level one. But basically what it is I shift you, remove 11% of the negativity. I have you do an assessment. It's kind of like a baseline of where you're at because so much of it's going to go away that's in your subconscious. Ultimately, you wouldn't even recognize yourself. You'll look at it and go, seriously, was I like that? Because you don't even know you're doing it. People around you will see it, but you don't necessarily see it. And you know, then for 4 weeks, I've got this program that I walk you through the changes that you're going to experience and how to really capitalize on that change. That's level one, and that's done as a group. It's all done over the phone and the Ustream, just like we're doing here. And then level two is basically the same, but it's 25 to 50% of your negativity. So level one is like, I'm kind of setting the stage to really help you change and get rid of things that are in your way to you really being able to change. Level two, you can focus on something specific that is a particular issue that you really need to focus on. Level three is then setting the stage for even a bigger change for you. And then level four is where I remove it all. And so they're all different times. Like level one and level two are both a month right now in the live group, but that's going to extend out with the home study. And then level three is 2 months. And level four is 6 months. So it kind of goes like that. And even 6 months probably isn't enough support. And then I have a membership thing you can actually do before and after that to just ask me questions like once a month. So the whole study people will end up going in the measurement into the membership also. But that's basically how I work is that, you know, I'm able to shift everyone as a group. And it's just as if I worked with you individually. So it's a way for me to be able to help more people and do it effortlessly. So you don't really have to in the group say anything about your situation or what you're there for or anything. All you have to do is do the assessment. I'm the only one that ever sees those. In fact, I don't really even need it to shift you. It's really for you. You get a copy of it. And you know, then it starts you on this process of being able to really get rid of stuff that's in your way that's holding you back in your life. And I really can safely say I do not believe that I could be running my business the way that I do, living my life the way that I do. You know, I mean, I'm basically like a stay-at-home mom, but I have my own business, and I'm helping people. And I'm helping people all over the world, and I've been doing it for quite a while, and in this recession, growing my business. So I really don't believe that, I could be doing that if I had all that negativity I'd previously been burdened with, because I was even afraid to start a business, okay? So, and then what happens is you keep changing. And once I remove all of it, you continue to change. So it really never stops. It really doesn't, because you continue to be expansive. That's how we were meant to be. We came in this planet ever expansive, and this negativity just got piled and piled and piled on us. And I can actually see it with my measures. As the negativity gets piled on, it gets higher and higher. This thing called frequency, which is a measure of expansiveness, or people might call it your vibe, gets lower and lower and lower. And this is why you see children, you know, they're all happy and they're bubbly, and then all of a sudden they start like moping around and looking like a drag, and you know, they things happen. And, you know, I can tell you story and story and story of, like, even little kids identifying negative patterns in little kids that are, like, 2 and 3 because they've already got it. So, anyway, but with that, that's what I do. You get an opportunity. I'll send an email out, and it's pamraglin.com/level1, L-E-V-E-L-1, but I am going to be setting up, some of you might want payment plans. I'll be setting something like that up also, so I'll know about it. And, you know, I'm going to run through now some of the questions and see and answer some of your questions. And then I'm also going to start answering, I'm going to answer your questions on these free calls, but on my blog and then also on my Facebook page. So I'll send an email out about that if you want to take a look at those things. You can, you have a couple of different ways that you can do that if people, like, really hate Facebook or they, you know, whatever. I don't want to do that. Okay. So I'm going to start. Let's see, let me go through the questions here. I've got a lot of questions. That's okay. I actually love answering people's questions, so it's kind of fun. Let's see. I should have rebooted. Both my computers run for like days on end, and then they, okay. This is definitely a very specific question. Okay. I'm going to answer this one from a lady named Alexandra. Alexandra asks, will I ever be normal without depression and suicidal thoughts and anxiety? And, you know, I want to say to this, yes, you can be normal. I do want to talk about this for a second, because I want to talk about the phenomenon of what occurs in situations like this. Okay. And I'm going to try to, let's see, I usually keep track of the questions I answer so that I know, sometimes we'll get back to you. Let me start, I think, try to decide how to do that. I'm going to, let's see. Okay. All right. This is, I can't believe it's the 17th already. Okay. I'm not going to say Alexandra's last name. Okay, but Alexandra is from France. Okay. So let me tell you what happens. Here's kind of like the cycle of depression and suicidal things. Now, sometimes there can be, and first of all, I want to say I'm not a doctor. I did go to school. I was going to be a doctor, and actually it's good I didn't become a doctor, because then I would have had all the negativity around being a doctor, because there's a lot of limiting beliefs in, that you get taught in school. So it's funny. It's like I learned just enough to figure things out, but not so much that I had all those limiting beliefs. So what will happen is there's this phenomenon. Doctors will say, okay, you're chemically depressed, you're whatever, and they'll give you medicine. But let me explain to you how the medicine works. What it does is it actually keeps you from feeling your emotions. So the word expressing means to get it out. So if you can't feel your emotions, you can't express them. So then what happens is they build up. So if you imagine like a volcano, they build up, they build up, they build up, and they're going to blow. Okay? And this is why on all the anti-anxiety and antidepressant medicine, now they have a little warning that says, warning, you might commit suicide. because the more treatment that you get, very often, the more problems you begin to have because you are actually repressing your feelings and your emotions. So the thing to really do is to deal with the root cause of why those things are bothering you in the first place, which is kind of where thought shifting comes in, okay? So I have actually seen, and, you know, what I do with people is I can actually help you get off of your medicine, things like that. But what I do with people is we pace it. You know, we'll do the shifting, and then we'll say, okay, it's time for us to get you off the antidepressant and anxiety medicine. Now, I want to say something else about that. Because it's medication, and because in order to get a patent on medicine, you have to create a chemical formulation that does not exist in nature because you cannot patent something that exists already, they have to change the chemical formulation. This causes a thing called patterning on your cells. This is what causes people to have, like, cravings and withdrawals and things like that. It's the same thing with drugs, all of it, okay? But it happens also with prescription medicine. So what happens is you've got this going on, and this is why you have to go through some withdrawal process if you want to withdraw from the medicine. And I'm actually able to, with my part of my thought shifting process, help you get rid of those withdrawals so that it's not, you don't experience it in that same way. But I have seen clients, and you'll see, I think even on that, the pamregnan.com/level1 page, there are clients on there that have had depression that just, you know, quote-unquote chemical depression that just went away. So everybody's different in terms of how they respond to it and what level of shifting you need. But I want to check that out for you because I want to see, like, where this came in. And then sometimes what happens is people also, you get sensitive to the energy around you. Like, some people pick up more of other people's feelings and things like that. And it's not actually your feelings at all, but it's somebody else's. So that's something else to look at also. But I'm going to check exactly what is going on with you. Okay, so let's see. So this is something you started when you were 3. What I'm getting is that your mom was very, I don't know, call her depressed, unhappy, okay? And you saw this kind of behavior, and she was kind of trapped, okay? I don't know in what way she was, but she was trapped. And because of this feeling of feeling trapped, you sort of grew up. Let me explain the ways that we learn things. Okay, we learn 3 ways. One is by someone just says something to us, and again, up until about the age of 5, it just goes in our head, and it's in there, and we just believe it, okay? Like, I was walking around with someone the other day who had actually been shifted to level 1 and had alcohol challenges, and this person said, you know, when I was, like, 4 and 5, my dad would take me someplace and buy me a beer, and that was our special time, and he let me drink the beer, and I was like, oh, you have this association that somebody, if you're drinking beer, it's like someone loves you, like they can only love you if they're giving you alcohol. And he was like, oh my God, you're right. And, you know, at the same time, this person had been shifted to level 1 was like, all right, you know, the first 4 months after I got shifted to level 1, my income doubled, and I can see it on these spreadsheets and all that. So that was really cool. But that particular negativity didn't get shifted to level 1. You know, everything didn't go at level 1. So it was kind of interesting because certain negativity went, but that one didn't. And it was, and he was like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, he's still kind of struggling. And what I find is that the more and more and more someone has things like depression, anxiety, addictions, things like that, the higher level of shifting you're going to need. So anyway, he learned the 3 ways. So he saw that. That was behavior that's modeling behavior. And then there's also behavior where you hear things and it just goes in. It's another way you learn. And then the 3rd way is that we make an assumption about it. You know, as a child, we come to a conclusion about something, which very often is not the same conclusion we would come to if we were an adult, because we know better, okay? So, and then this all goes into our subconscious, and then we begin to create and attract that in our life. So what I'm seeing is that you saw your mom, and you saw her be very depressed and unhappy and trapped in some way. I think it had to do around men. And you modeled this behavior, okay? And really haven't learned another way since. And what's happened is I'm getting that, sorry, I left my phone on. Let me turn it off so it doesn't ding. And I'm really seeing that you've tried to get different methods of treatment for this, but that's only made it worse. And I mean, like, medical treatment, okay? Okay, so let's look at how much negativity you have. Let's look at how much is in this issue. Your actual base negativity is actually lower than normal. You're at 93.2%. I don't know if you've had any like shifting or maybe been in one of my free calls when I used to do the shifting. Mine started out at 93.1, so it's possible for us, if we're really, really conscious, to be paying attention to that and to have it not like be quite as high. That's actually lower than normal, but this particular issue is 51% of all your negativity. So, and that's actually quite high. So I would say definitely that level one is something that you want to look at. So again, it's Pam Ragland, RAGLAND.com/level1. And we'll send an email out about this when it's ready. But also probably you're going to need to get shifted at some of the higher levels too. Probably most likely when it gets up to like 40 or 50%, you're probably ultimately going to go to level four. Okay. Some people can deal with your issue. I mean, everyone's going to benefit if you go to level four, but not everybody. I wouldn't say it's like required, but for some people, it's that it just wouldn't, right? It's so much of your life. It's intertwined everywhere. So it really is most beneficial to get rid of it at, you know, completely. Right, that's kind of what I'm seeing. And then also, I really believe that you need some support. Even if you're not taking the medicine now, what happens is the patterning stays in your cells. I feel like I need to tell you that. So even if you're not doing something now, what I feel like is that there's something that's still there that's getting in your way. There's something chemical in your body that's going on. So, okay, so that's what I'm getting. So I hope that that helps. All very doable. Okay, let's see. Let me pick someone else. Okay, I'm going to pick someone named William. William is in Charlotte, Port Charlotte. I really should ask people what state they're in or country or whatever. I don't know where that is, but it's someplace in the United States. Okay, William says, "It seems I'm always just one step away from abundance. What is blocking me?" Okay. And, you know, I think you guys know, but I have some resources for money. I'm going to talk about money in a second. Your blocks. Okay. So, you know, what's interesting about money is we tend to, money is just energy. And creating money is the same thing as creating anything else in our life, but we give it this bigger significance, and in many, many ways we give up our power to the money. Okay? And interestingly, money is power. Power is money. So if we give up our power, we're actually giving up our money. Okay? We give up our energy, we give up our money. I talk about that. I have a money CD. So if you haven't seen that already, go to the number 5, not spelled out because someone else took that when they saw me do this, but 5moneysecrets.com, and I have some free videos there. The numeral 5, M-O-N-E-Y, and then secrets, S-E-C-R-E-T-S.com. And here I've got some free videos there that you can watch. And they lead you to, I've got a CD that actually helps put you in the vibration of money, basically, so you can be a match to money. Because remember, everything around the law of attraction is that you're a match. Okay, so I would take a look at that. And even if you've already seen the videos, go sign up again and look again, because sometimes you're going to see something different than what you saw last time. And we've also done some work on, and I think that's almost done, on converting all my videos over so that they're mobile. You know, if you've got like an iPad or an iPhone, which just so happened because I have an iPhone. I'm like, hey, what the heck? We can't see my videos. So we're converting everything over so that whatever device you're looking at it on, you ought to be able to see it. Because I know a lot of people have those devices and they want to be able to see them. Okay. So now let's look at what's in your way here. This is age 2. Okay. What I'm seeing in age 2 is I'm seeing Dad, and he's like a hard worker. And he's struggling. And he's not very happy. Feels like just barely scraping by. Those are the words that I'm going to use. Just barely scraping by. Okay. And what happened is, not only did you learn this behavior, but what you really learned is that you can't do what you love and make money, because he wasn't very happy. And he never figured out, and he has never figured out, how to make money doing something he loves. And so you just come up with this idea that it's not possible. So what will happen is, you'll get close to doing something that you really love that you can make money at, and because you have this association, this idea, that it's just not possible to make money doing something you love, then you don't. You sabotage it, okay? I hope this makes sense. So that's what I see happening. That's why you get one step away from abundance. If you were ironically enough doing something you hated, you'd probably do better at it because this association exists for you. So what we want to do is be able to shift that, okay, and get rid of that negative association, clear that out. You know, let's create a new road, but we don't have to make it hard. Okay, so in this particular issue, you're 98.2%, which is more normal, okay? And then this particular, normally it's 97.4, but when it's that high, then you know you start getting up there. Anything? So this is 39% of all your negativity. What may be having a big impact on you is not having, let's say, the same impact as like Alexandra's issue is having on her. All right, so definitely level one, which again is Pam Ragland, ragland.com/level1. And then I think probably you'll ultimately end up wanting to go to level two also, but you can find out about that after you do level one. And then I would take a look also at those free money videos, the number 5 and then moneysecrets.com. Okay, that will help you. The shifting will definitely help with that. The free videos and the CDs. So if you want to, you can get the CDs from the free videos. You sign up for those. Okay. So William, I hope that that helps. All right, let's take another one here. A lot of abundance ones. So when you're listening to me talk about the abundance ones, kind of just know that, you know, many times that while your challenge or opportunity may not be exactly the same, the solution of it is, you know, often very, very similar, okay? Okay. Someone's glad I'm doing the call again, yay. Okay. I'm going to take this one. This is someone named Faria, and from someplace in the United States. And all right, what we'll do with you, if you, what I'm going to try to do, see if I can get my assistant to do this, but is if you're, if I've answered your question specifically, just so that, well, you guys can listen in on the calls, but if I'm putting it anyplace else, I'll try to remember to like let you know or just send an email or something like that. I'm not sure to listen in for your answer, but I want to make sure. All right. So what you're saying is, as much as I try to focus on the task, I'm not able to. I want to explain this. My mind is everywhere. Please help me have a focus and stop my mind from chattering. Thanks. Okay. So this is a very ADD-sounding-like thing. Okay. And now what I want to tell you is that I hate to, like, I hesitate to put labels on things, but sometimes it's helpful just to understand things. It's that I, myself, have a brain that would be considered an ADD brain, and I get a lot of stuff done. So let me explain what happens when you have ADD. And also, ADD is a scale, and I've begun doing work with, like, autism also, because I found out by accident that thought shifting helps with autism, because my own son is autistic, and he's, like, so normal. I shifted him when he was 2, and they can't believe that he's, like, they had to keep testing him to see if he's autistic. Anyway, people still argue with me, he's not autistic. No, really, he is. just filling in the blanks for some of his little idiosyncrasies. But I'm also noticing there's a huge population of adults that haven't been identified because we've just been more recently identifying this. So it kind of goes like this. It's like it's a scale. So it's like ADD, what you call ADD. Then what I'm kind of calling ADD2, which is maybe an additional level of ADD. And then there's like what they call Asperger's, and then autism, and then there's different levels of autism. Okay, so then these are all related. So what this means is that everybody with autism has ADD, but not everybody with ADD has autism. So now let me explain an ADD brain. It's actually a very brilliant brain. It's like a computer with multiple processors, and you're able to do a lot of stuff. Okay. However, with all that negativity that I talked about, what happens is when negativity hits like a fork in the road, it sort of hits it and it goes off sideways. And it causes you to lose focus and not be able to focus. And it causes you to have a very hard time coming back. So the shifting at every level and progressively, the more you're shifted, the more it helps put you back into balance when you have ADD. Now, it doesn't get rid of it, but it does help put you back into balance. And the reason it doesn't get rid of it is because there's nothing wrong with you. It's actually a brain that's capable of multitasking. I can do multiple things at one time, and I can actually do them successfully. And some people would say, oh, it's people who can't do it. Processor, and there are computers with the two processors, and now there are even computers with more processors. It is possible. Our technology tends to mirror what is possible for us without us even realizing it. We create in our technology, you know, we're learning that we're all connected and different things like that. Okay, so what happens is this, because of all this negativity, it makes it harder and harder to focus. Now, let me give you a couple practical things you can do. Because it is a multitasking brain, if you're trying to focus on something, it helps to have something else that your brain is also focusing on because your brain is trying to focus on more than one thing at a time. So if you've got like music, or a lot of people find success if they're trying to get things done with the TV, but you know, it really all depends. Like I talked to, there's a famous internet marketer guy named Hellman Knutson, and he's very ADD, and we had a chat, and like I can listen to music with words, but he can't listen to music with words. He can only listen to music that doesn't have words. So you kind of have to experiment and try what is enough of a distraction for you that it works, but not so much of a distraction you can't focus. So what happens is because your brain is trying to do two things at once, you need to give it something else to do. It's actually set up that way. And if you try to only focus on one thing at a time, you can't. And I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to try to make me do my homework in the quiet, and that's like the kiss of death. I still can't do that. When I sit down to write my programs and books and stuff like that, I'm getting ready to write another book, I'll be having my iPod on. I will not be able to sit there in the quiet. It's not, I just can't do it. Because my brain isn't set up that way. So understand, you know, how your brain is set up. Understand, I'm really getting that it's the ADD. I'm not getting, it's the collective negativity. It's not any kind of specific negativity. It's collective. Now there will tend to start to be negativity around it, because what happens is we tell ourselves there's something wrong with us, we're not normal. I mean, thank goodness, and I mean this kind of tongue-in-cheek, my younger sister was identified as ADD, so she's the one that took the Ritalin. They never gave it to me. Because half of all the people that end up on some drug like that end up being a meth addict, okay? I talk about that in my addiction book, so because it's speed. So right now, today, they're giving our kids a bunch of speed. That's a whole other talk I could do just all about that. So that's not really the answer, because what that does is it speeds up your body. It speeds up your body to match your brain. What you really have to do is get rid of the stuff that's causing your brain to sort of blip around in the first place, and that's the negativity. So to the extent that you get shifted, the more you do, the easier this is. And I remember what happened for me was one day I was like, wow, I had no idea how busy my brain was until all that stuff was gone. After I was shifted, then I was like, wow, it was completely different. So it really is possible to be free of that. And then it doesn't keep your brain from like being busy and having ideas and things like that. It just makes it easier for you to focus. It just makes it so much easier, okay? So that's what I would suggest. And so, but there is negativity, and the negativity is around you not being successful. And this is an outcome of the ADD, okay? Actually, I'm getting that you kind of fall into like the ADD2, what I call the ADD2 bucket, which is kind of my term that I made up that's like a more extensive version of that. Right, but you do have negativity when that's like age 4 that came in. Kind of when probably people started asking you to really sit down and focus on stuff and you had a hard time. And let's see, so I'll look at your total negativity like I am with everybody else. So you're at 98.4%. Okay, and then this particular issue having to do with just really the outcome of ADD and you feeling like that you're not a success because you can't. Okay, this is the idea. I can't live up to other people's expectations. That's what I'm hearing, okay? I'm hearing that really like your parents had certain expectations of you and they were really disappointed almost because of how you are, which really there's nothing wrong with you. It's just learning how to capitalize on how you are. Really, people with ADD, I mean, it's funny. I go to these conferences and things like that for internet marketing. I'm telling you, we call it entrepreneurial ADD. 9 of the 10 traits to be a successful entrepreneur are ADD traits. So it's not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just that we don't, there's less of the population. It seems to be more. And our schools are not set up to teach children that think like this. I mean, that's really bottom line. Okay, so it's not that there's anything wrong with you, but we get this idea. Like I said, thankfully for me, I didn't because my sister had that. So so the focus was taken off of me. But you can have 41% of all your negativity that's around this idea that you can't live up to other people's expectations. I really hear, like, I can't do it. But you can do it. So for that, the shifting would be helpful also. And let's see. Definitely level 1 makes a huge difference. But start, you know, of course, with level 1. And the really cool thing is the way that I've got this broken up now. And again, that's at pamragland.com, P-A-M, and then RAGLAND.com/level1. And the really cool thing about having it kind of broken up this way is that you can try it and then notice a success and then, you know, go do more and then go do more, okay? It's not like the instant, big, huge old change that used to be for level 4. But ultimately, I think you're going to want to go to level 4 just because with any kind of like ADD, that will allow you to just really capitalize on the talents and the things that you have, you know, the abilities that you have. Okay, I'm looking at the time. I'm going to take a couple more. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like a group healing type of thing for everybody that's on the call still. And it will work if you're listening to the recording. It just isn't going to be as powerful. And then I may see I've got this divine guidance I get if there's any guidance there that might apply to everyone, and then we will end the call for today. Let's see. But again, I'm going to be doing these calls on a more regular basis, so. Okay. I'm going to take a lady named Joni. And Joni is from Dublin. Look at that, we got all this international. It's funny, I was just talking about Ireland. Okay, and Joni says, I always feel like when I get a chance to go my own way, an unforeseen obstacle gets in my way. My self-esteem is now very low, and I want to make changes, but I feel like my timing is never the best. Okay. Now, let me tell you what happens. I'll hear somebody say something, and all of a sudden I go, ooh, that's what it is, okay? So, Joni, I'm looking at your question right now, and I'm hearing you say, my timing is never the best, and it makes me go, ooh, that's what it is. So I literally am hearing in your head this idea that my timing is never the best. So that is definitely our negativity that we're dealing with. And, of course, just to kind of reiterate the whole way that this thing works, if you believe your timing is not the best, then you're going to create in your life circumstances, you're going to attract resources, things like that, that convince you that your timing is never the best, and you are indeed going to create the reality in your life that your timing is never the best. So you're going to continue to create these obstacles in your life. So let's take a look at where this came from. Okay, this is age three. What I'm seeing is I'm seeing your mom pushing you, not physically pushing you, kind of like trying to get you out of the door, pushing you. And she's saying, hold on, I'm getting everything she's saying here. Okay, she's kind of worried about being late. And I'm seeing, this is one example of this happening, but I'm seeing that this happened a lot. So this is not a single circumstance. Sometimes, because of the way this negativity goes in up until age five, you really only have to have it in there one time for it to start attracting for you. But I'm really getting that this was something that was repetitive, okay? And these are kind of the things that she was saying to you. And, you know, by the way, you know, sometimes when I've had, been able to have the people on the live calls, and you're talking about this, they'll say things like, oh my God, you're so accurate, blah, 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 blah. I always know when I'm getting these very specific things. You know, that's pretty right on. All right, so I'm hearing you, your mom is pushing you, you know, figuratively, not literally, okay? She's trying to get you out of the door, out the door. Things are going somewhere. I think maybe she had to go to work. Something important to her. Okay, and I'm hearing her say, you're too slow, you take too long, you're holding me up, it's all your fault, we're late, okay? And then, remember, this was repetitive. And so what you take from that is that I can't do things on time. Okay? Let me show you how this works because it's insidious, this negativity. Okay. So now you've got this idea, I can't do things on time. And over the years, you've twisted it into my timing's off. There you go, and that's it. My timing is off. So when you say I feel like my timing is never the best, it's really kind of more the underneath is my timing is off. So let's take a look at what we've got going on here, how much negativity is in this one. You're at 98.7% total negativity. And again, you know, when the average is 97.4, you don't have that much further to go anyway. This particular issue . 56% of all your negativity. So you're probably going to eventually want to go to level 4, but, you know, start out at level 1. Again, it's Pam for the thought shifting, Ragland, R-A-G, LENT.com/level1. Okay? But you're going to want to go to level 4 and get that all erased with the quantum thought shifting, because 56% is a huge amount of negativity. That's just something that's pervasive in your life. And this is why unforeseen obstacles, what's actually happening is you are attracting those unforeseen obstacles over and over and over again. And one of the clues to negativity is the fact that we'll look at patterns in our life and we'll continue to attract them over and over and over again. Okay? So you're kind of looking for patterns. All right, let's see. I'm looking at the time. I think I'll take one more. I did this call a little bit earlier. Usually my call, kids come home at 7, but we have 4-H on this night. The usual light night that I have it, we don't. So let's see. Let me take one more. Okay. I'm going to take Holly. Holly's in Hawaii. Okay. And Holly's challenge is feeling worthy. And I would say, she's saying my biggest challenge is feeling worthy, which I would say is more like feeling unworthy. Okay, and I'm going to turn that around. And she limits herself from certain things and becoming powerful or well-known. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about power for a second. Power is money. And money is power. Power is energy, and energy is power. Okay? So all those things are synonymous. So to the extent that we limit our power, we limit our money. Okay? So when you say you're preventing yourself and limiting yourself from becoming powerful or well-known, you're really limiting yourself from fully living life. Okay? So being in your power is your birthright. But we have so many things that are set up around us that help, that are limiting in terms of our power. Okay? So, you know, without that, it limits your money, resources, which is a form of money, your ability to create what you want, the life that you want. Okay. Setting all that aside from even becoming well-known, because you can get well-known for all kinds of things, right? You can be well-known for some stupid thing, like, you know, then it's a matter of how long that lasts. What I'm really getting from when you're saying becoming well-known is that you really want to live on purpose. And it also limits your ability to be on purpose. By the way, the more shifting that happens, the more on purpose you get. Because these things are just keeping us from living our life the way we're supposed to. It's just how it is. Okay. So let's take a look at this. Page 3. See what I mean? Like, all this stuff, it's like so early. Okay, your mom is not powerful. In fact, I'm seeing that she was probably abused. And you told yourself, I'll never be like that. But in fact, you have found yourself in situations where you've been abused. And you've been abused, physically, but more like emotionally. Okay? And you've shrunk back and not been who you are. So let me explain something to you. When you tell yourself, I'll never be like that, let me give you all an example. So let's say that I tell you all right now who are listening and on the video, don't think about an orange. And now tell me, what are you all thinking about? An orange. So if we try to push away from something, our energy, our thoughts are going towards it. It's impossible not to think about the orange. Myself, my mom was not the greatest. She died at age 66 of a stroke from her drinking. But when you say, I'll never be like that, I'll never, what you're doing is you're putting out the energy towards that thing that you don't want to have happen. Another way to put this is what you resist persists. You know, people will say that, okay? So you have years of saying, I'll never be like that, but instead of focusing on how you wanted to be, you focused on what you didn't want and you have created that in your life, okay? So this is really just from misfocusing. Like on every level, and I'm getting a little bit chills because you just have such a potential. You have this huge potential. But on every level, you have limited yourself for years by focusing on the wrong thing. You know, this is one of the reasons why I do different calls and why I'm going to write my next book and things like that, is to really help people understand what we're doing. Because you know what? I didn't get this whole law of attraction thing before. I didn't get that I was creating with my thoughts. I used to say I'm probably going to die from drowning. And you know what? I've almost drowned like 13 times. And I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I saying? I had no idea. I didn't realize the power of my own thoughts. So we don't know our own power, but we're supposed to. Okay? And sometimes our own power scares us. So by telling yourself, I'll never be like that, what's happened is you've focused and focused and focused on that, and you've become like that. Right? So that's negativity. The good news is, we have the technology and we can get rid of that. So let's look at your whole negativity and what you have here going on. You're at 98.4%, so lots of above averages tonight. Okay, but this particular issue, it's 57% of all your negativity, so it's huge. So this is having a huge, huge impact on your life. And what I'm seeing is see all these ways that you decided that you would never give up your power, that you just gave up your power because you didn't even realize that that's what you were doing. And you know what? I want to say this to you. I totally understand this. You know what? My mom was always abused. She was abused by men. And I said, I'll never be like that. I'll never let some man treat me like that. And guess what? My first husband was abusive. So, you know, I mean, I divorced him ultimately, but I attracted that and that lack of power because I was really focusing on what I didn't want. And it's so much harder sometimes to sit back and really decide, what do we want? You know, what is the opposite of that? What does that look like? And unfortunately, we've got so much negativity around it, like at this point in time, then that becomes really hard to shift that without getting rid of those negative thoughts. Okay, so for you, definitely level one, but you're probably going to want to go all the way to level four also. And again, Pam, the thought shifting part is Pam, R-A-G-L-A-N-D, pamraglund.com/level1. It's L-E-V-E-L and the number one. Okay, so that concludes the questions for tonight. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to do all of you now, if you would just close your eyes, unless you're operating heavy machinery or driving or something like that. And I'm going to do a little healing thing for all of you. Okay. And what I just did, it's a temporary thing. Unfortunately, I'm no longer able to do permanent shifting on these calls because I just shift too much. And then your life starts changing. You need to be supported through that. And I only do that in my programs. I wish I could just remove one or two negative thoughts from people. But that turns out to be like constant other negativity. So I haven't been able to do that in a while. And it's just not responsible. I've even tried it in, like, you know, groups and speaking and stuff like that. But what I just did for you is something that temporarily helps you with the effects of people trying to take your power and what I call outside interference, okay? And I want to see if there's anything from this divine guidance that I get that wants to come through. Ah, there is. Trust me, again, another thing I never thought I'd be doing. Okay, I want to talk about power. And what I'm being told is that, you know, there's a lot of people that are on this call on the video tonight that are accustomed to giving up their power, but it's time to really step into your power, and it's only by stepping into your power that you have the opportunity to make the biggest difference on the planet. And what I'm really seeing is that there's a lot of people who are listening in who really desire, you may also be listening to the recording too, who really desire to make a huge difference on the planet and to help create a big shift and to contribute to that. You're trapped by this negative. So, yeah, what I'm being shown is that actually, for whatever reason, this call has attracted quite a few who are in the place where you are just ready and determined forward, and you want to move forward in a way that is going to best serve you, and you're determined to get out of your own way. And what they're showing me is that that's possible for you. Actually, what they're showing me is this light that is swelling up and swelling up and swelling up, and it's like the light comes on, and it's a little bit, I'm going to cry. It's a bit dim, but it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And then pretty soon it's bright as the sun, and there's no way to put that light out anymore. And a lot of you that are on the call, your light has been dim, but it's never really been put out all the way, and it's time for your light to shine. So that's the message that they want you to have. So I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. I think there's another one of these calls scheduled in like a couple of weeks or something. I hope you'll join me and tell your friends, and I'll take a different selection of questions. I try to go through and just pick out things that also reflect the whole of what everybody is wanting to hear as well. So thank you for joining me. Sorry about our little technical difficulties at first, but, you know, we'll get back in the swing of things. And I look forward to serving you this year and really seeing the shifts occur in your life. So thanks again for joining me, and I'll say goodnight. Bye.
This has been Pam Raglan. I want to thank you for joining me on this innovative series of calls. I hope you've learned something new and valuable that you can take away and pass on to your friends and family. If you'd like to ask me about your own situation or just listen in to learn more about what gets in your way, you can go to my website at www.askpamraglan.com. That's www and then the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, which is P-A-M, and then R-A-G-L-A-N-D.com. If you'd like to pass them on to your friends and family members, if they have questions or situations that they need help with, or they might just benefit from listening in, feel free to do that as well. If you'd like more information on thought shifting, you can go directly to my Level 2 program website, which is at www.pamragland.com/level2. That's pamragland.com/level, L-E-V-E-L, and then the number 2. So please tell your loved ones, friends, and family members about the call. And thanks again for joining me, and have a wonderful day.